Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Our text this morning, Acts chapter 2. We're talking about the Father's gift. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Folks, what happened there was extraordinary. We don't read about this as sort of typical of when believers come together. You know, it's typically you come together, you start worshiping the Lord, you're going to hear a loud sound like a rushing mighty wind, and then tongues of fire will come and land on the heads of various people, and everybody will start speaking in tongues. This isn't typical. This is extraordinary. This is historic. But folks, this is also the fulfillment of the long-awaited promise. This is something that changed everything. God was working in a new way, inaugurating something that was not possible just a short time before. It had been promised, but it had not yet happened. Look, if you would, in John chapter 1, verses 29 through 34. John chapter 1, 29 through 34. John the Baptist is the one who was sent by the Father to introduce Jesus. And in John 1, 29 and following, it says, "The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God. That message, that introduction of Jesus, not only as the Lamb of God, but as the one who baptizes us in the Holy Spirit, is repeated in each of the Gospels. In Matthew 3:11, in Mark 1:8, in Luke 3:16, Jesus is introduced as the one who will baptize his people in the Holy Spirit. Now, I would submit to you that as evangelicals, we are very proficient at telling people about Jesus, the Lamb of God. Jesus, the one who died on the cross to pay for our sins. Without Jesus dying as the perfect sacrifice, we could not be forgiven, we could not draw near to God, and the Holy Spirit could not be poured out on us as we now can receive since he did that. When Jesus died on that cross, the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom. This was God's illustration of the fact that now it was possible for people to come and have intimate communion with him in a way that never could have happened before. The high priest was only allowed to enter the holiest of holies once a year, and that was with blood that was not his own. But when Jesus died, all the sacrificial system that had existed before was fulfilled. Jesus died, and the veil was torn in two by the hand of God. Because of his sacrifice, now we can draw near, and now we can experience what was not experienced before. Jesus had promised that this was going to happen. But look in John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. This is one of the places where Jesus promises the outpouring of the Spirit. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Did you hear that?
Also, is this Holy Spirit kind of a new thing that just occurs in the New Testament?
No, go all the way back to creation in Genesis 1. The Spirit is there hovering over the face of the deep. It is not as if the Holy Spirit just comes on the scene in the New Testament. What changed was not that the Holy Spirit, who is the eternal God, began to be. What happened is that now our relationship with the Holy Spirit is dramatically changed. Now it becomes possible for those who are in Christ Jesus to be immersed in God himself. To be baptized in the Holy Spirit is to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. It's not just a little bit.
I realize you say immersed because you're a Baptist.
No, I say immersed because I know what these words mean. And to baptize to a Jew involved going under the water and being completely covered under the water and then coming up out of the water. That was what the word meant, and that's why they had mikvahim all around the Temple Mount where people could be immersed as they were going to worship. And that's why John baptized where there was plenty of water at the Jordan. And that's why the Ethiopian eunuch would say to Philip, look, there is water. What's to prevent me from being baptized? They immersed people under the water, and that was what they called baptism. So Jesus uses a term that they were very familiar with. They didn't say baptism, baptism. I've never heard of baptism. They knew the word he was using, and when they pictured what he was saying, the idea was that of being immersed in God. And that was new.
Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents, and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
But Jesus says not only can we be immersed in the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit becomes in us a stream of living water flowing out and making a difference in others. Because not only does God embrace us, not only are we swallowed up, as it were, in God, but God is now living His life through us. Christ in you is the hope of glory. God's design is that we would not simply be forgiven, but that we would be transformed from the inside out and be His channels through which He displays His character, His power, His love, and He changes lives. Folks, that is the calling that is ours, and that is the gift that God gives to us. Do you remember when Jesus spoke in the Sermon on the Mount of earthly fathers and how they knew how to give gifts to their children? You remember that? He said, if you earthly fathers, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him? But Luke tells us in Luke 11:13 that Jesus sometimes said it this way. If you earthly fathers, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? What better gift could we ask of our Heavenly Father than the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit that we can receive in this way? As we said a moment ago, the Holy Spirit is God. Not an it, not a force, but God. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And just as Jesus is fully God, the Spirit is fully God. And the Spirit, who is God, comes to live in and through the believer when we are made new in Christ. But Jesus said if we really understood what was going on there, we'd be excited about it. Look back in John chapter 14, beginning in verse 15. Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Jesus is saying, I'm going to ask the Father, and he's going to send the Spirit. You know him, for he lives with you. You remember Jesus being referred to as Emmanuel? Which means what? God with us. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. But Jesus says, I'm going to go to the Father, and he's going to send the Spirit, and the Spirit will be in you. Not just with you, but in you. And God will live his life through us. And that is absolutely astounding. Jesus goes on in chapter 14, 15, and 16 to talk more about this. And he says, if you knew what was happening, if you understood this, you'd be happy about it. Because the Holy Spirit coming to live in and through you is going to change everything.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. This program is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. You can hear Pastor Wood's teachings 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at pastorwood.org. And when you visit pastorwood.org, we would greatly appreciate it if you would tell us a little bit about yourself and, if possible, also make a donation to this ministry. So please visit pastorwood.org today or give us a call at 866-41-ABIDE. We hope you are blessed by Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. We would like to get to know you better and hope you will take a short survey at pastorwood.org. It will only take a minute or two. Every week, we will draw a few names from those listeners who take this survey. They will be offered a free book of their choosing that is listed at pastorwood.org. We truly hope all our listeners will take this survey. Please visit our website at pastorwood.org and take our survey today.
Your love is amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain firm beneath my feet.
If you look at the rest of Acts chapter 2, the emphasis of Peter's message is pointing people to Jesus. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, one of the things we need to be very, very clear about is that the ministry of the Holy Spirit is pointing people to Jesus. Still, today. But folks, many people emphasize that because they're terrified of talking about the Holy Spirit. We'll have more to say about this, God willing, in coming weeks. But I want you to understand something. The Holy Spirit is not somebody who we need to sort of be quiet about because we don't want people to think that we're some of those, you know, crazy people. Don't worry about what other people are going to think about your theology while you're busy trying to do what God says he wants us to do. Is that clear? Don't worry about that. You focus on worshiping God. Get your eyes on him. The body of Christ in our culture has often been robbed of the blessing of God because we're terrified of being in a situation where we're not in control. A dear seminary president, who's now in heaven, I believe, confessed of being in a meeting with a bunch of young leaders from InterVarsity in Europe. And as he was leading these folks, he said, the presence of the Holy Spirit was manifested so powerfully that I was afraid of what might happen, so I immediately ended the meeting with a word of prayer. And he was afraid it might get out of control. Out of whose control? Out of his control. There is something wrong with us when our attitude toward God is that we want more of God, but not too much. We want to be holy, but not
too holy. You know, don't want to be one of those holier-than-thou people. We ought to want to be immersed in God, baptized in His Spirit. Well, Pastor, I believe that, you know, Paul says all of you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, so I believe that that happens automatically to anyone who is born again. You know, at the time of conversion, you are therefore, it's just part of the package. You get baptized in the Holy Spirit right down there. Well, I would submit two things to you. Number one, Paul could say to the believers that he was writing to, you've all been baptized in the Holy Spirit, because unlike many today who don't believe everything that's in the Bible, the people he was writing to had all been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Okay? Which doesn't mean everybody now has. Because if you go back and look what happened when Paul met the Ephesians, they had not yet received the Holy Spirit. Secondly, why is it so important to you to believe that you've already experienced that so that you don't have to think about it anymore? I want to recommend a book you can get online. You'll have to search for it. It's not, I don't think it's currently in print, but there are copies floating around readily available. V. Raymond Edmond wrote a book called They Found the Secret. This was probably back in the 50s. He was the president of Wheaton College at the time when Billy Graham and Jim Elliot and a lot of other wonderful people went through Wheaton. And in this book, They Found the Secret, he talks about various people down through church history who were involved in ministry, and then they had a life-changing encounter with Christ and experienced an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that forever changed their ministry. And he shows this in person after person, not all of whom had the same theology, but all of whom had the same Savior. And how God poured out His Spirit on those individuals, and it changed everything. I know in my life that I was a committed follower of Jesus Christ, sharing my faith with other people, serious about it, and yet, when I was about to start my public ministry, God poured out His Spirit on me in a way that had never happened before. And I didn't go home and tell people, because the Lord told me not to. But people began to say to me, what has happened to you? You're different. Well, something's changed. I'm here to tell you, this promise, according to Peter later in chapter 2, this promise is for you and for your children and for those who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. When we talk about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, we're not talking about something that's for super Christians. And those of you who would like to be in the elite force, we're going to have tryouts this Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock. No, I'm not talking about that. This is God's gift to those who believe in Him. Jesus said, if you believe in Me, rivers of living water will flow from you. So I want to ask you, how's your river flowing? If your relationship with the Lord feels more like something you got to pump up, well, it's nice to have a pump. It's nice to have a well. But God offers us a river where it is just the most natural thing in the world for us to share what God is doing in our life, because nothing else means as much to us. We're so excited. I mean, just ponder it for a moment. I was a sinner guilty of violating God's laws, justly deserving His wrath. And God, despite my sin, sent His Son to die on the cross to pay the penalty that I owed. And He totally took away all my guilt and defeated the forces of the enemy that were arrayed against me and adopted me into His family and put His Spirit within me and sealed me for the day of redemption and promised me that I am now a joint heir with Jesus forever, His beloved child.
How can I not rejoice? How can I not want to share that with others? I'm more than a conqueror through him who loved me. So whatever comes against me, nothing can separate me from God's love. Now, when we really believe that, don't you think it ought to get us up out of the puddle? We have been given a blessing beyond measure. And God now invites us to celebrate his love in a contagious way. If you feel like you're on the outside looking in, let me tell you something. You're invited. Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. That's what Jesus said. We can't earn it. We don't have to be good enough. It's about trusting in Jesus. He loves us more than we can imagine. And he invites us to trust him. And when we trust him, he begins to change us from the inside out. So, way more than we can cover in just one Sunday. But I want you to know something. When we read what happened at Pentecost, it was the fulfillment and the inauguration of something new. Because now the Holy Spirit was being poured out in a way that had never happened before. But it would be the new way of doing things going forward.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
Hi, this is Pastor Jim Wood of Abiding in Christ. Living in the mountains of East Tennessee, I'm surrounded by phenomenal beauty in every season of the year. My wife and I live on a mountainside that adjoins the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, the most popular, most visited of all the national parks in the USA. Our neighbors include bears and bobcats, foxes and raccoons, even possums and skunks. Just down the hill from our house is the beautiful campus of Ware's Valley Ranch, a miraculous place where God is busy changing lives from the inside out. On this program, you'll hear interviews, monologues, but mostly you'll hear the expository preaching that I do here at the ranch. Because I'm often speaking to a room full of children, you may occasionally hear background noises or illustrations and vocabulary chosen for a child's frame of reference. But the one thing I pray you will hear every time is God's Word, the eternal, inerrant Word which points us to Jesus. I'm delighted to partner with this station in bringing these messages to you, and I'd like to get to know you better as you get to know us. Please visit us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Click on the link that says Contact Us and let us hear from you. We'd love to know the station where you listen. And feel free to share any prayer requests as well. We actually do pray for the specific requests that folks send us, and we love hearing how God answers those prayers. Again, the website is pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.